And maybe a good word picture for us here in Northern Cal, it was a lot like San Francisco, you know, because people came there from different cultures and different places, and so it was kind of a wicked and evil city. People came from all over the world and with their ideas and their thoughts. But it's interesting to know that Paul spent more time in Ephesus than any other place. I mean, that was kind of his home base. He spent about 3 years there, so it became a training ground and an ascending spot for the whole New Testament. And you might recognize some of these names if you've read the New Testament, people like Apollos and Priscilla and Aquila and Paul, of course, and also Timothy and John all spent time in Ephesus. And so the letter he wrote to this city was very important because the city was important. And so I just want to kind of have you have that in your mind as we take these next couple weeks and wrap up the letter. And so that's kind of the city. And the letter to Ephesus that we call Ephesians, I've told you this before, but you might remember. I've given you kind of a word picture as you think about this little letter. You may remember, you may not. But the word picture is, let me set up by asking you this question. And you may remember me asking you this question before. When you get on an airplane, how many of you people are window seat people, okay, like me? Any aisle people, like my wife, okay? Any middle seat people, okay? You just need prayer. I don't know why I'd want to sit in the middle seat, okay? But, you know, I'm definitely an aisle seat kind of guy. In fact, there's a picture here that I'll show you that I took. Somewhere over Canada, flying home from India a couple years ago, and you don't see pictures like that unless you're sitting in the window seat. And this was a 16-hour flight for all the way to San Francisco. 16 hours. I just didn't drink water for 3 days because I didn't want to get up and go to the bathroom, right? But because I want to sit by the window and look out, right? And Ephesians is a window seat. Ephesians is where Paul gets up in the 747 and says, I want to show you the big, 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 big picture of what God's doing in this world. And so the reason why I say that's important, in some letters Paul writes, and he's very focused on the specific church, like Corinthians. He's saying, you Corinthians, you're messing up here, and you're not doing this right. It's very specific to Corinth, or Galatians. It's very specific to Galatia. Hey guys, do this and quit doing this. You don't find that in Ephesians. Because in Ephesians, Paul's not so concerned about that individual church. He's looking at the big, 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 big picture of what God's doing in the world in eternity past and in eternity future. And so that's kind of a good word picture for us as we think about this letter. Paul takes us up and says, guys, I want you to see the big picture. I want you to see what God is doing. And we talked about things like the mystery of the church and all the things that God is doing through the letter here in Ephesus. Even the title that we've given this series, we call it Living Out the Gospel. And you think about that, that Paul divides his book almost in half. The first three chapters are about the gospel, what God has done, who Jesus is, all those things. And the last three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, is okay, now that that's true, let's live it out. Let's make it very practical. How do you live now as a new person in the gospel? If you're paying attention, we're going to read our text in just a moment, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. If you're paying attention, you'll notice that we're skipping verses 5 through 9. Now, why is that? Is it because they're not good? No, it's because I recently preached on those verses, actually in February of 2017, so not too recent, but a little while ago, and we did a little series called Taking Back Monday, talking about how we go to work and what our attitude should be like when we work. And so if that's important to you, I'll tell you what, stop by the sound booth, we'll make you a CD of those sermons, and you can pick those up. But for sake of time, and just the way our schedule works, we're not going to cover those this week. I'm going to take 2 weeks and really dig deep in verses 10 through 20. Okay, so if it bothers you that I'm skipping verses 5 through 9, go to the sound booth, we'll get a free CD, and you can listen to it that way. Okay, let's stand together out of respect for God's word. I'm going to ask Sheree to come as we read our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. God bless you, Sheree, as you read our text this morning.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Sorry, it stopped. Pray that I might declare it fearlessly as I should.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Cherie. You may be seated today. Hey, that's a great text, isn't it? And let me ask you a question. I think I know what the answer is, but I want to ask it anyway. Does life ever feel like a battle? You might say, Pastor, when doesn't life feel like a battle? I mean, it just feels like it's a battle. It feels like maybe it's a struggle. And I don't know if it's just me, but I was thinking about that even this week, and I thought, you know, it seems like whatever I'm preaching on is what I kind of have to go through in life. And so this has been a difficult week in some ways in my life, just battling through some stuff and fighting through some things. And it's just life is like that. And so therefore, I'm going to preach a 52-week series on how to handle prosperity, and that'll be, maybe I'll be tested in that, I'm not sure, but anyway, life is like that. In fact, we sang that song this morning in worship that about the battle and being surrounded by the Lord, and this text talks about that. And so today we're going to look at verses 10 through 13, and then next week we're going to go verses 14 through 20 and really dig deep into this passage and see what God wants to say to us about the battle that we find ourselves in life. So three truths that we want to talk about this morning, and the first one is this. It's very obvious, I've already said it. Number one is we're in a battle. We are in a battle. I mean, we just are. And, you know, that's hard for me to believe. I mean, you look so good today. I mean, who would be your enemy? I mean, you guys look like everything's all together and everything's great. Who wouldn't like you? Who wouldn't want to be your friend? Who would want to harm you? Right? Maybe you feel that way by yourself. You know, why? You know, who wouldn't like me? Why am I in this battle? Well, listen, I'll state the obvious. Life isn't a picnic. Life isn't a walk in the park. Amen? There is a heaven, and this ain't it. We're not there yet, okay? So as long as we're here on earth, we're going to have this battle and this struggle and this stress that we go through. Now, I don't say that to be a doom and gloom kind of guy. You know that I'm not a doom and gloom person. I'm an optimistic person. I'm not negative, but we need to be realistic. The Bible here is clear that we're in a battle. And listen to this. If you don't know you're in a battle, you've already lost. If your mindset is, well, everybody loves me and everybody likes me and life's a piece of cake and, you know, I'm just going to skip through the tulips and have a great, you know, listen, you've already lost the battle if that's your perspective, because the devil's going to hit you upside the head quicker than you can figure out, and you won't even know that you're in a battle. So here's the question. I want you to understand this. The question isn't, am I a soldier or not? All of us are soldiers. The question is, am I a victorious soldier or am I a defeated soldier? None of us can say, well, I'm just not going to be in the battle. I'm going to be Switzerland. I'm going to be neutral. I'm just going to sit this one out. We're all soldiers. That's not a question. The question only is this: are you victorious or are you defeated? Are you with me? Say amen. Now, we obviously want to win the battle. So we're in the battle. We've got to realize we're in a battle. Life isn't easy. We have an enemy. We'll talk about him in a moment. And look at this verse in your notes. Here's how Peter kind of reflects on this. He says, dear friends, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Listen, don't be surprised. If you have a struggle this week, don't be surprised. If you go out of this room and something hits you square in the face, don't be surprised. Life is like that, and we're in a battle. One of the best pieces of wisdom I got a few years ago from an older pastor, he said, you know what? Examine your assumptions. And if you're assuming that life is always going to be easy and life is going to go your direction and life's going to go your way, life is going to be a piece of cake, and then a spiritual battle hits you, what'll happen? You'll say, what happened? You know, God doesn't love me anymore. God's not real. I'm not really saved because now I'm struggling and now I'm in a battle. You have just assumed the wrong thing. But if I realize, listen, I am in a battle, and when the battle hits me, it doesn't mean God doesn't love me. It doesn't mean I'm not saved. It doesn't mean God has forgotten me about me. It just means I'm in a battle. And there's no guilt in that. There's no harm in that. That's not a negative confession. It's just the way life is. Paul lays it out here. He says, we're in a battle. In fact, look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, for our struggle. It's okay, it's normal, it's expected to struggle at times in life. If you could say to me, Pastor, I've never struggled in life, I've never had a temptation, I've never had a situation, listen, you're not human. Amen. We all struggle at life. We all have difficulties. We all go through stuff. At times, life will feel like a struggle, a battle, an uphill fight. In fact, this word struggle is interesting in the Greek language. It's the only time in the whole New Testament this word struggle is used. And it literally means wrestle. We're wrestling. Perhaps because, listen, the Ephesians loved wrestling. Now think about your history. You know that the Olympics started in Olympia, Greece, not too far from Ephesus. They loved these kinds of sporting events. And in Ephesus in particular, they loved to wrestle. Any wrestlers here this morning? Okay, we got a few over here. I've got the Ensley boys back there. Okay, we're going to set up a WWF ring up here after service. It's going to be Pastor Michael against Jordan Hall. Okay, here we go. My money's on Jordan Hall. Okay, bye. I'm just saying. Anyway, would you be surprised to know that wasn't even in my notes? I just made that up. But that word, the word struggle is wrestle. In other words, it's a hand-to-hand combat. You know, in our day and age, we talk about, you know, laser-guided missiles and Star Wars kind of technology, which we have warfare. But it was hand-to-hand struggle, close-up fighting. And again, if we forget this, our struggles don't make much sense. Again, when you're in a struggle, don't say, well, I thought God loved me. I guess God forgot about me. I guess I've lost my salvation. No, you're just living life, and sometimes life is a struggle. And sometimes it feels like you're wrestling. Amen. But listen to the end of the sentence. God will see you through to your ultimate victory. You have an enemy, but God is on your side, and God is going to help you if you just allow him to do that. Let's talk about that for a moment. In this struggle, who is your enemy? Listen, your enemy isn't your spouse. Amen. Some of you aren't too sure. It's not your spouse. It's not your boss. It's not your kids. It's not your parents. Listen, your enemy is not the government. The Democrats are not your enemy. The Republicans are not your enemy. Now, you may disagree with them, but they're not your enemy. I thought I'd get a few amens there, but I guess I'm going to have to keep going. It's not your neighbor. It's not your enemy. Your enemy is Satan, the devil. We have an enemy, and he's our unseen enemy. He's the devil. He's Satan. And again, if you want to get a little deeper in this topic, you might remember last June I did a series called The Unseen World, and it's on our website. If you want to get more information, you can check it out. But understand that Satan is real, that Satan is our enemy, he's our adversary. And the reason why the battle is so strong, listen carefully, is Satan knows he's defeated. And he's going down. And when an enemy is defeated, he doesn't easily surrender. He wants to inflict as much pain and damage as he goes down. He knows that last Sunday was Easter Sunday. He knows that Jesus is alive. He knows his time is short. He knows his eternity is going to be spent in the pit of hell. And he wants to bring people with him. And he hates you because you love God. And so that's just the reality. We ought to face it and realize it and know that when an enemy is defeated, he's trying to inflict as much damage as he can before his time is finally over. Now listen carefully. Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, that his native language is to lie. He cannot say the truth. He cannot speak the truth. And so his biggest tool is deception. It's not power. We don't need to be afraid of the power of the devil. We need to be afraid of the deception of the devil. That's his tool. Think back to the original fall of man in Genesis 3. He came and he deceived Eve, and he fooled Adam and Eve into tricked them into sin. And so the same is true in our life. So let's take a look at some, really quickly, three lies the devil wants you to believe. Number one, the first lie is that Satan is not real. If Satan can convince you that he's not real, again, he's already won the battle. If he can tell you, well, it's just, you know, a figment of your imagination, or maybe you would picture him with a little pitchfork in his hand and a you know, the little red guy with a tail and the pitchfork, kind of a cartoon. You know, it's a great trick on his part to convince people he doesn't exist. It's a great lie. If you get people to believe you don't exist, you can do anything. And so we're not here to exalt Satan or lift him up, but we ought to recognize that we're in a battle and he's our enemy, and he is real. Amen? Number two, here's a big lie. The second lie is that Satan is equal to God. Let's be very clear here. Satan is not equal with God. This is not a battle where it's, you know, 50-50 which way it's going to go. This is not a close contest. This is not a football game that goes down to the last play to see who wins. Listen, Satan is defeated. Satan is a created being who fell from God's presence. He's a fallen angel. He's a created being. His destruction is assured. His destruction is not in doubt. He was cast out of heaven, and his evil work continues to this day. God is eternal. Satan was created. God knows everything. Satan's power is limited. God is everywhere at all times. He can do anything he wants to do. Satan cannot do anything he wants to do. Satan is not everywhere at all times. He's a created being. And so we've got to be very clear here because, again, people kind of assume, well, it's kind of this battle. You know, since we're in a battle, there must be equal sides, right? And we have God, we have Satan, and they're just kind of going to duke it out. Listen, Satan is defeated. We celebrated that last Sunday on Easter. We celebrate that every day when we get up and we serve Jesus Christ, that he is defeated, his destruction is assured, and we don't have to worry about that. But while his defeat is assured and it's playing out, he's going to battle us, he's going to try to trip us up, he's going to try to deceive us, and we've got to just recognize that and be okay with that. I'm getting a lot of popping in this microphone, so I'm going to switch to this one, okay? I don't know if... So let's make a list of things the devil cannot do. He can't read your mind. He can't possess you. He can't make you do anything. I don't need to be afraid of him. We stand against him. We plead the blood of Jesus against him. We put on the full armor of God against him. So hear me carefully. Just because we have an enemy, we don't need to be afraid of him. Again, I'll say it one more time, that God versus Satan isn't a battle that is undecided. It's not, well, let's kind of read and see who's going to win. We already know who won. Satan is already defeated. Amen. His fate was sealed when he rebelled against Almighty God. And Jesus' victory on the cross is the exclamation point on the victory of God. Here's a good word picture for Satan. Any other people like me that were paper boys when you were younger? Okay, back in the day, it was a paper boy. It was on your bike. So I would jump on my bike and deliver newspapers. I learned pretty quickly which dogs were chained up and which dogs weren't chained up. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew that, and to this day, I still don't like dogs very much because of my experience. I'll be honest. I've been chased by too many dogs on my bike. You know, I was scarred for life. Okay, who wants to just lead out in prayer right now for me, right now, your pastor? Satan is like a little dog yapping and yapping and yapping, but guess what? He's chained up to that tree. And he can yap and he can make as much noise as he wants and he can growl even if he wants to, but you know what? He's defeated. We don't have to worry about him. He's chained to the tree. God's victory is assured and he's not equal with Almighty God. Quickly, let me move ahead. Lie number three, Satan is in charge of hell. Hell is some sort of party. Listen, Satan is going to be thrown into hell, cast into hell. It's a place of eternal torment and separation for him. Revelation chapter 20 tells us that, and you can look at that later. Okay, move on. Number one, we're in a battle. Number two, only you can prepare yourself for battle. Circle that word you, would you? Only you can prepare yourself for battle. Again, notice all the action words that Cherie read a little while ago. Put on the full armor of God. Stand. Take up. Be alert. Pray. These are action words. These are things that we've got to do. God has given us a will and a choice to arm ourselves. He's provided the armor for us, but we've got to put it on. This isn't something that the Bible says Jesus will even do for you. No, you've got to do it for yourself. You've got to take the armor and the protection and the
the things that God has given to you, and you've got to put them on. Amen. Just like this morning, you got up and you put your clothes on. Amen. And you're here today, you're fully dressed because you put on your clothes. Hallelujah. What a concept. The same thing is true here. Action words, put on, stand, take up, be alert. And in fact, that's the key word, right there. The key word is stand. Stand your ground. We'll talk more about this next Sunday, but that's the key word. In verse 11, it says stand. In verse 13, two times it says stand. In verse 14, it says stand. And we, even in our culture today, we use it this way. When something goes on the workplace or in politics, we say, well, I'm going to take a what? I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to stand. I'm not going to move from this point. This is what I believe. This is what is true. I'm going to stand here. I've made up my mind. I'm firmly established. I've decided I will not be moved. That's what it's talking about. And that's the key word here for us. In putting on this armor and preparing ourselves for battles, we're going to stand. We're going to be established. And again, we'll see next week when we look at the individual pieces of armor, but the Roman army, they would stand side by side, and they would have the shield of faith. And again, we'll talk more next Sunday, but the shield of faith was not this small little shield. It was like carrying a door around. Literally, it was the size of a door. And they would put that door there, that shield, and they would stand side by side by side and create a human wall on the battlefield. And they would stand. And here's the key point. You need to hear this morning. That's why we need each other. We don't stand all by ourselves on the battlefield. And we stand here and here we are. No, you stand next to me and I stand next to you. And you stand next to her and she stands next to him. And we form that human wall that gives us the protection that we need. That's why we need to be a part of a church. That's why we need to be involved and connected into a local body of Christ. Because if we're standing all by ourselves, it's likely we'll be defeated. Amen. But if we're standing together, if we're standing shoulder to shoulder, if we're standing, not standing alone, we're standing together, the odds of our success go way up. And so that's why connect groups are important. That's why ministry teams are important. That's why you've got to be connected with other people in this place so you can go to somebody when you're struggling. You can go to someone and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. I need to talk to you about this. You're not all alone in life. So we stand. We stand together. Now, how do I get ready for battle? So much of the key to this is in my thinking. Is in the way I think about life and the way I think about God's word. Am I meditating on God's word? Am I letting it soak into my heart? One of my favorite pastors of generations ago, Martin Lloyd-Jones, said this. He says, we listen to ourselves too much and talk to ourselves too little. Let me say that again. We listen to ourselves too much and talk to ourselves too little. What is he saying? He's saying we ought to talk to ourselves more. As soon as you say, Pastor, I talk to myself all the time, okay? Well, that's not maybe what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I talk to myself and I tell myself, what does God's word say about my situation? I talk to myself and I remind myself and I instruct myself what God's word says about what I'm going through. I don't just listen to myself and say, well, how do I feel today? And, well, there are times I got to say, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to talk to myself and say, you know what? It doesn't matter how I feel today. I'm going to walk in victory today. I may feel discouraged, or I may feel tired, or I may feel like nobody likes me, and, you know, my dog has fleas, and everything is wrong in life, and I listen to myself. Listen, there's times we've got to just quit listening to ourselves and talk to ourselves. See, this is what God's word says about my situation. This is how I'm going to equip myself for battle. I'm going to get my mind into God's word and let God speak to me about my life and about who he is. You see, your life will be the fruit of your thoughts, and your mind is the real battlefield. And if we change our thinking, we can change our life. And so we prepare ourselves for battle by making sure that we're thinking correctly, that we're because remember, Satan's greatest tactic is deception. He'll want to trick you. He'll want to fool you. He'll want to give you feelings and thoughts that are untrue. And you've got to hold those up against God's word and say, Satan, get behind me. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm not going to think that way because God's word says this. And when I do that, I'm walking in the armor of God. I'm putting on God's armor, and I'm fighting the battle the way God wants me to fight it. So next week, we're going to dig deep into the pieces of armor. We're going to talk about those. But just know the key word here is to stand and to train my mind and to fill my mind with God's word. Let me close with this third point. And if your neighbor's asleep, wake him up, because this is a good one. All right? So this battle that we're fighting, okay, I'm going to give you a sentence, and I'm going to explain what it means, okay? So write this down. We fight from victory, not for victory. Let me say again. We fight from victory, not for victory. Hey, some of you are getting it. In other words, the battle that we're talking about is not for my salvation. I'm already saved. Hallelujah. I cannot earn my salvation. I can't fight for my salvation. I'm fighting from my salvation. In other words, since I am already saved, this is how I'm going to do battle. Since I'm already saved, this is how I'm going to walk in victory. The battle's not for my salvation. The battle is for my victory. Now, some of you are getting this. Some of you, let me go over this again. You see, it's possible to be saved but not be walking in victory. What we're talking about here in Ephesians 6 is not about my salvation. How many of you are glad you didn't have to earn your salvation? I mean, I'm glad because you know what? If I love what Rick Warren says. If we get to heaven, we all earned our salvation. We'd spend all eternity bragging about what we did to get there. How horrible would that be? When we get to heaven, we're not going to brag about how we got there. We're all going to have the same story to tell. I'm saved by grace through God's sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? End of story. So we fight this battle from the perspective of we've already got the victory. I'm already going to heaven. And now I'm just going to work it out in my life. It's not for my salvation, it's for my victory. It's possible to be saved but not living in the victory that God wants you to have. And so we fight this battle not saying, well, if I defeat the devil, then I'm going to be saved. No, you're already saved. Now you're going to defeat the devil so you can walk in victory. So you can live the life that God wants you to live. So you can live the life of victory. How many of you know it's better to win than to lose in life? So we fight for our victory over the devil, over sin, and the devil's tactics in our lives. You see, God doesn't want us to be weak and defeated and ineffective. You can still be on your way to heaven, but not doing any good here on earth. And that's not what God wants. And so this whole battle in Ephesians chapter 6, it's not about getting saved. It's because you already are saved, this is how you're going to live. Are you with me? It's because I'm saved, I'm going to put on the armor of God, and I'm going to walk in victory. Yes, life is a battle, but I'm not going to lose. Life is a struggle, but I'm on the winning team. Life is difficult, but I know God's going to see me through. At the end of the day, I'm not fighting for my salvation. I'm fighting from my salvation. And because I'm saved, since Jesus has already won, now I am going to win with him. Not I hope I can win. It's I have already won because of what Jesus has already done. Oh, that's good news. That's good news. You see, we're in this battle. And let me just close with this thought. You've heard me say this before, but I think it's really appropriate at this moment to remind ourselves that we're in the overlap of ages. In other words, we talk about the already and the not yet. Do you remember that? Already, Christ has won the victory, but not yet has he brought victory fully and completely into this world. Already, Satan is defeated, but not yet is he in hell. So we're living in this already, not yet, the tension between what we already have and what we don't not yet have. And I gave you the word picture. I'll give it to you again. Of being out at the barbecue grill. And you're out there, and you got a tri-tip on the grill, and you know, they're in the house, and they're saying, hey, is it ready yet? So you do what I do, and you don't tell anybody about it, but you do it anyway, right? You take your knife, and you cut off a little piece of that tri-tip, right? Come on, let me hear an amen. And you taste it. You say, boy, that's good. No, it's not ready yet. It'll be another half hour. No. That taste is not the full meal, but it's a taste of what's to come. And the battle that we're fighting, it's a taste. The victory is a taste of what God has for us. Our ultimate and complete victory is just around the corner. Right now, yes, we're battling it out. We're still living it out. We're still, you know, life is a struggle, but we're looking forward to that day. One day we'll see him face to face. The battle's already been won. But as we live through this life in the here and now, we put on our armor. We prepare ourselves for battle. We fight not for the victory because we had the victory, but we fight from the position of already winning the battle, and God's going to help us through. Amen? So here's how we're going to apply it today. I want you to read this text this week. Read it. Think about it. Read it some more. We'll come back and talk about it next Sunday. But here's a great place for us just to pause and apply it to our hearts right here. You see the question there in the bottom of your notes? It's a simple question, but it's a profound one. Do I know the Word of God? Do I read the Word of God? Do I study the Word of God? Do I meditate on the Word of God? You see, because if I'm going to win this battle, to go back to what I said earlier, I'm not going to listen to myself nearly as much as I talk to myself. And if I'm going to talk to myself, I'm not going to talk to myself about just whatever I think. I'm going to talk to myself about what God's telling me in His Word. And if I'm going to win the battle, I'm going to tell myself, Self, this is what God says about me. This is what God says about my situation. This is what God is up to. And so we get victorious when we get into God's Word. And we talk to ourselves about what we see and what we hear. And God helps us win the battle. Amen? Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your grace and Your mercy and Your love. We thank You, Father, for giving us the victory. Thank You, Lord, that we fight this battle not to try to win our salvation. Lord, we could never do that. Father, we fight this battle simply because You've already won the battle. And Lord, we want to walk in victory this week. We want to walk in victory over temptation. We want to walk in victory over the situations in our lives. We want to win the battle, God. And Father, we thank You for giving us the provision to do that, Lord, through Your Word. Help us, Lord, to fill our minds and fill our hearts with Your Word. Help us, Lord, to notice those times when we're listening to ourselves too much. Listening to our own thoughts, Lord, help us instead to talk to ourselves and remind ourselves to meditate on Your Word, to let Your Word shape us, inform us, speak to us. Father, help us to walk in victory this week. Lord, thank You that we don't have to be afraid of our enemy. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. We don't have to be afraid of anything, God, because Your Word says, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Would you just keep your head bowed for just a moment? I'd like to ask a question of those that are here this morning. Because I don't want to miss this opportunity for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. I don't want to assume that we're all on His team this morning. And if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus. I don't know what it means to serve Him, but I'd like to. I want to give my life to Him. I want to make Him the Lord and the Savior of my life. No one's looking around right now, but I want you just to lift up your hand. I would like to pray with you today. Amen. Thank you so much for that hand. Anybody else? Say, I want to make sure I'm right with God today. Thanks. Thank you. I see that hand as well. Amen. Father God, thank You for speaking to our hearts today. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to hear this Word and respond to it. Lord, for those that have lifted their hand, we ask You to help them to reach out to You now and confess their sin and receive You as our Lord and Savior. Father, thank You for the victory that You've already won for us, and Lord, that we stand in that victory. And Lord, that we walk victorious, not because of our own strength, but because of Your strength. Father, I pray for those that feel disconnected, that feel like they're standing by themselves. Lord, bring others around them, Lord, that would stand close to close, shoulder to shoulder with them, side by side, that they could work together, Lord, and fight together. We give You thanks and praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good to us. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask your ushers to come forward at this time. We're going to receive your offering and your Connect cards as well. I want to remind you that there's several ways to give. If you'd like to give, of course, you can give now, but you can also give on our website, southpointcc.com, and that's a convenient way, especially if you like to give with a credit card or a debit card, you could do that. If you ever miss the offering as well, out of the information desk, there's a little offering slot. You can slide your offering in there. We want to make it easy for you to give. You know why we do that? It's because we believe and we know that giving is an act of worship. Amen? When you give, it's not just out of obligation or duty or habit. When I give because I'm worshiping the Lord. It's a way I worship Him. I say, God, You bless me, and I want to make sure I put You first in my life. Amen? So, Father, we pray You bless this offering. We give it, Lord, out of a heart of worship and thanksgiving for who You are and for what You've done. We love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. One more time. Come on. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm so. This is how. This is how. This is how I fight my battle. 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 This is how. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles. This is how it may look like. Come on. Oh. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hallelujah. That's a great song for us to go out on this morning. I hope you remember it this week, that if you feel surrounded by your battles, just tell them, you know what? I'm surrounded by the Lord right now. He's surrounding me right now. Amen. It's my privilege today to bless you in the name of the Lord. If you'd like to receive a blessing from the Lord, I invite you to lift your hands to Him. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His kindness and have mercy on you. May the Lord watch over you and give you peace. And all God's people said together, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day and a wonderful week.
make a way for the King. The King is coming. Empty hearts are filling up. Wicked ways are coming undone. Every eye is looking out for you.